Our gospel lesson for this first Sunday of Advent comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 44. As I read these words, listen for something that's being spoken into your heart as you begin this Advent journey with your brothers and sisters here at Pleasant Grove. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, today's text is a bit odd, don't you think? After all, today is the first Sunday of Advent. What gives with this text? Where are the shepherds? Where are the angels? Where's the star? Where's the manger? Where's all the stuff? So what's with all this cryptic, apocalyptic imagery? It's a bit of a downer, don't you think? This is supposed to be a joy-filled season. Halloween was a month ago. Come on. For as in those days they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Oh my gosh. Understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Merry Christmas. But you know, this shouldn't surprise us. No, it's like this every single year, right? Last year we heard Luke: there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. Merry Christmas. How about Mark? But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Merry Christmas. What are we going to do? We already have the tree up. We have the wreath out. We have the greenery out. What are we going to do with this unnerving talk about impending doom? We want to feel good, don't we? Maybe it would be best just to ignore Advent week one. Just ignore it. It's nice that it usually falls the Sunday after Thanksgiving, as it does this year. Low turnout. That helps. I'm sorry you showed up, aren't you? You're sorry about that. Apocalypticism. I thought this was Advent. Wow. Let's just skip it. Let's just move on to week two. And words like this: a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. That's what I'm talking about. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. That is more like it. But you know, we can't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. We got four candles around there. I can't skip one. Wow. What are we going to do? It's the first Sunday of Advent. I mean, last Thursday was Thanksgiving. So since the last time we met, things have changed and changed significantly. Can you feel it yet? Can you feel Christmas coming? It's 4 weeks from today, right? It's Christmas Day. And we'll gather here. All of us will gather here on that day. It's a religious holiday. At 11 a.m. for one service only. Oh my goodness. Can you feel it? It's almost panicky. Wow. Everyone's rushing out around at a frenetic pace. The calendar is getting full. The travel plans are being finalized. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to prepare your lives for Christmas? You know, most of us never think about it, but when we ask that question, what we're really asking is, what are we going to do with Advent? Advent. The 4 weeks leading up to the celebration of Christmas. Adventus, coming, something is coming, something big is coming. Emmanuel, God with us. Incarnation, the mystery that calls us together each and every week. The mystery of how a world connected its source with its encounter with a baby in Bethlehem. Huh. Friends, we have 4 weeks, only 4 weeks. So what are you going to do to get ready for Christmas this year? Well, hold on, back up a minute. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the reason for the apocalyptic intensity of the first Sunday of Advent. Maybe we already feel that nervousness, that urgency, and the significance of what we are about to do. But maybe we just never named it appropriately. Huh. Maybe we just have substituted busyness during this season for the essence of the season. So let's think about this. What are you going to do this Advent? How are you going to prepare your life for Christmas? Just think about it. What are you going to do that prepares your life for Christmas? What's Advent going to look like this year? What's it going to be about? Is it going to be about family and friends? Sure. Is it going to be about making cookies and eating cookies? Absolutely. Is it going to be about cinnamon and vanilla and lights and presents and Christmas trees? Yes. It's going to be a blast. Does that sound reasonable to you? Sounds reasonable to me. I do it every year. That's my goal every year. But the question is this, how does such behavior prepare for an encounter with God? How does it prepare for Emmanuel? Now, I've shared this quote with you many times. Ever since I first read it, I just have to share it. And I'm going to share it with you many more times in the future. It's a quote from Thomas Merton's book, Seasons of Celebration. It's a book that he wrote reflecting on the liturgical year of the church. And when he gets to the chapter on Advent, he makes this comment. He says, Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. Advent is the sacrament of the presence of God. And you know, when we talk about the idea of sacraments, we're talking about the church's corporate practices, such as baptism or the Eucharist, in which the grace of God is administered to us in a uniquely profound way, a way that can transform our lives. For instance, John Wesley called the Eucharist, called communion, a converting sacrament. And what he seems to have meant by that is he said that when someone comes forward to receive the sacrament with a heart prepared to encounter God, that's what happens. They encounter God. And then that encounter leads to regeneration, a new day. Merton writes, Advent is a sacrament of the presence of God. In other words, Advent is a season of preparation during which we live in such a way that God's presence breaks into the world in a real and profound way. Huh. It's a practice that ultimately ends with the celebration of Emmanuel. God is with us. Now, some of this text is starting to make a little more sense to me. This is critical stuff. We need to be intentional. We need to be on a watch. We need to be intentional in sharing our lives as children of God with other children of God. in laughing and singing and cookie making and feasting. And by doing that, we seize that which has been given to us. And we honor that gift. And then we share it with effusive living. And effusiveness effected by an intentionality and mindfulness grounded in incarnational theology. In other words, at the heart of our common life lies a grace that was enfleshed in Jesus of Nazareth and is now enfleshed in the body called the church. William Herzog, professor of New Testament at Andover Newton School of Theology in Massachusetts, writes that beginning the season of Advent with eschatological text from the Gospels offers us, quote, a way of framing Advent as the end of an old order and the birth of a new era in our lives. In other words, what if our practice of Advent shaped our lives in such a way that by the time Christmas arrived, we had begun to see a bit more clearly that our lives are lived in sacred space and in sacred time. And that what we do and what we say is significant because we do it and we say it in sacred time and sacred space. If it's just ornamentation and props, what's the point of that? It's a waste of money. It's time for something new. Herzog goes on to note that Matthew 24, the text I read a moment ago, the focus is on those who failed to prepare themselves. As a result, they missed out on the kingdom of God. In Luke puts it this way, be alert at all times. Mark says, and what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. Today it was, keep awake therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. What day God's going to break into your life? I would suspect that most of us in this room do not live in a world of heightened apocalyptic expectation. We do not anticipate the end momentarily. We do not anticipate impending interruption of the end time in our lives. No. But maybe there is an urgency associated with the idea that something's got to change. That we need to be transformed, that our lives need to be different at some fundamental level. We long for an encounter with life that is of a greater quality and a greater depth than that with which we are currently encountering. And we have a hunch that if we go about doing the same thing this Advent as we did last year and the year before that, we're going to get the same results. And that is unacceptable. Unacceptable. This Christmas needs to be different because we need to be different. One of my biggest fears is this, that I'm going to squander yet another Advent. I've squandered decades of them so far. You know, this year I want to participate in the sacrament of the presence of God. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. Maybe I'm going to do some reading, some deep reading. Maybe I'm going to reflect some. Maybe I'm going to meditate some. Maybe I'm going to spend some quality time with family and friends. Not spend endless hours shopping. And I'm going to give myself away. You know, the folks at Advent Conspiracy, I don't know if you remember we did that. I try to cite it every year because I think they nailed it. 4 simple Advent rules to live by. Worship fully. Spend less, give more, love all. Pretty simple. Worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. If we can do that, we will use this season of incarnation to incarnate Christ through our lives. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. It sounds like a threat. That's how most people perceive that. But it's really a promise. It's the promise of life. So are you ready? Are you ready for change? And that's really the question, isn't it? We have 4 weeks. Let's use them wisely. Thanks be to God. Amen.